Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports of the Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I am, of course, William Ramo. Hey, what's up, Macaulay?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
I'm doing all right. You know, we're going to lead off with a little baseball, you know, talk about the Mets as they play horrible baseball against the Marlins this weekend. We're going to talk about your Yankees. You know, shift gears a little bit with the NBA Finals, the Heat versus Spurs, as Spurs look to even the series tonight in Miami. And, of course, you know, we're going to talk about sports entertainment as usual. And, folks, of course, you all know the number. Feel free to talk sports entertainment and everything else. So let's lead off with a little Mets baseball here. Today, the Mets fell to the Marlins by the final score of 8-4. Prior to yesterday, they lost to those same, you know, horrible Marlins team in extra innings, 20 innings, by the final score of 2-1, I should say.
Yeah, it was a long game.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you how crazy the game was. Sean Markham, who's usually you know, the fifth starter on the team, he pitched 8 innings in relief and got the loss. So Sean Markham, again, he the guy literally had no, you know, run support the whole season. And in both of his, you know, tour of relief, in extra innings, this season he's 0-2. And basically, I guess we'll start with yesterday's game, the 20-inning game. Matt Harvey and Jose Fernandez, who's a rookie for the Marlins, they had a pitching duel with each other, as you could tell by the score. And basically, Mets had a 1-0 lead. And then, of course, the Marlins, you know, tied it, I think in the fourth inning. And it's been nothing but zeros all the way until the, you know, the 20th inning.
Right.
And basically the Mets, they set a franchise record being 0-for-19 with runners in scoring position.
Wow.
And there's nothing more you could say about that. And then today, you know, the Mets jumped out to a 4-1 lead. Whatchamacallit? Daniel Murphy hit a solo home run. David Wright knocked in a few runs, but basically it was all, you know, Marlins. Marlins have clearly dominated the Mets regular season. Nationals are like basically, I mean, not the Nationals, the Marlins, against everybody in the majors, they're, as you would assume, they're the Marlins basically. But against the Mets, they're basically what the Mets are to the Yankees this year.
Well, yeah, they swept you guys last weekend, or was it 2 weeks ago?
It was last weekend, right. It was last weekend, but down in Miami.
And they swept you guys again this week?
Oh, yeah. And luckily for us, you know, Friday night, the game, the first Marlin game got rained out. And then the day before that, on Thursday, the final Nationals game got rained out also. So, you know, against the Nationals. So Mets split the series with the Nationals the series before that because of the rain postponed the what would have been the rubber game.
Wow.
So
yeah, that's something.
Mets have been playing horrible baseball all year, except when they faced the Yankees this year.
Yeah. Seems like that's the only team you could beat these days.
Exactly. I guess for the Mets, you know, someone need to remind them that, you know, even though they swept the Yankees, the World Series happens in October, not in May.
Exactly.
Or in this case, June. So, you know.
Well, that's inexcusable. I mean, you know, it seems like the Marlins. I mean, Marlins, like, they only have, like, what, 19, 18 wins or something like that?
Yeah, and most of them came from the Mets.
Yeah.
That's
inexcusable, man.
Mets are basically putting their kids and grandkids to college, basically. Keeping these garbage players in the league.
I don't even know who the hell's on the Marlins roster.
That's exactly what I was about to say. I'm guys you probably never even heard of are basically the guys who are killing the Mets.
Man.
And there's nothing more to say. I guess you could tell us what happened to your Yankees today.
Well, Friday, we began the series with the Seattle Mariners. And Kuroda pitched against Joe Saunders. We ended up losing that game 4-1. We didn't give Kuroda much run support. And Kuroda gave up 4 runs in the fourth inning. And we ended up losing that game 4-1 on Friday night. And yesterday, actually, it was Kuroda versus Jerry Bondeman on Friday. So
right.
Bondeman ended up winning that game, and Kuroda ended up losing. And yesterday it was Zandy Pettit versus Joe Saunders, and Pettit pitched brilliantly. It was the second game since he's come back from that injury, and he was looking to get his 250th career victory, and he pitched well all the way into the sixth inning, And he only gave up about one run, I think, one or two runs. And he ended up winning that game. We ended up winning the game 3-1. Teixeira had an RBI. Cano had an RBI. I think Nix also had an RBI in that game as well. So we won the game yesterday 3-1. And Pettitte got his 250th win. And Mariano got his 22nd save this season. And today it's Phelps versus King Felix Hernandez. And Felix Hernandez has had a great career against the Yankees so far. He's 7-2 for like a 1.3 or 1.4 ERA, I think. And right now the game is tied 1-1. I think they're in the sixth inning right now. So I'll keep you guys up to date on that.
Yeah, and, you know, congratulations to Pettitte, you know, with his 250th, you know, win.
Yeah.
And that's a huge milestone.
50 wins from 300, although I don't think he'll pitch long enough to reach 300,
yeah,
but we'll
exactly,
see.
Exactly, exactly. I don't think, yeah. I think this is his last year.
Yeah, I think so.
But then again, you know, Pettitte and his buddy, Roger Clemens, you know, they always change their mind. You know, they're...
Yeah.
You know, basically the Brett Favre of MLB, you know, they say, you know, I'm going to retire. I want to spend time with my family. And then once you know, the games are about to start, you know, they change their mind.
Hey, I wouldn't mind getting – hey, as long as Pettitte, you know, can remain healthy, I don't mind him pitching as long as possible. But
oh, yeah, of course.
He is getting up there, so I don't know.
Yeah. I don't blame you. Pettitte is a, you know, all-time great Yankee.
Yeah, he's Andy Pennant. Very clutch.
As you love to call him.
Yeah, he's been a clutch pitcher for us in the past, so we could use him.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, Mariano, you know, is Mariano, you know. He's bounced back basically after that, you know, that Met game.
He's 22. He's converted 22 of his 23 saves, and
having a phenomenal year.
Yep. And he's called 71 of Pettitte's games, which is a record. It's a major league record.
That's you know, basically amazing.
Yeah.
And of course, folks, if you want to talk about, you know, how you know, if you're a Mets fan, you want to talk about how frustrated you are about how the Mets are playing, or you want to talk about how Pettitte, you know, how you feel about Pettitte and his illustrious career with the Yankees. Of course, you could call 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. But with that, let's just let's switch to the NBA. And of course, you know, Knicks are out of it, so basically, you know, this is the NBA Finals. This is all for the marbles.
Yep.
NBA title. And, of course, the Spurs, you know, they came to Miami and basically took home field advantage from them. And he had a lead late into the, you know, the fourth, but, you know, Tony Parker was clutch.
Yep, Tony Parker had that up and under move after he stumbled, and it looked like he was going to turn the ball over, but he managed to go up and under LeBron James and make that lucky shot, which went in, and Spurs ended up winning that game by 4 points.
Right, I think it was, what, 92-88?
I think so, something like that.
And basically LeBron James, you know, he didn't have his best game, but, I mean, the guy did have a triple-double, you know. Did everything he tried to, but basically the Spurs, you know, held them in check.
Yep, and tonight is game two, and the Heat are going to look to even the series.
Yeah,
I think Heat is going to win it in six games, so.
I think it'll be in seven. I think I take Heat to, you know, to even up the series.
Yeah. I think they'll win tonight, and, you know, they'll probably win one or two games in San Antonio, but we'll see.
I think the final score will be 95-92.
Yeah, I think it'll be a close game tonight. I think it'll be around there, 95, 92, 97, 94, something like that.
or maybe even the same score we had last time, 92-88.
Yeah. But I'm sticking with my prediction. I'm still sticking with the Heat winning this series, so.
I think Spurs will beat them. But yeah. It's close. This one could go either way, you know, obviously.
Because Heat's last three series, they've lost the first game, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he shouldn't be crying because, in 06 and last year, you know, they lost game one, and, of course, they end up winning the championship.
Yeah, so exactly. So
they can't, you know, dig their heads in the Miami Beach sands, you know.
Yeah.
Thinking the series is over.
It's far from over. I mean, it's going
to be
it'll be a long series, so, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Although the ratings are down from last year, I heard, down 12%. I guess, people don't want to watch the Heat or the Spurs, especially Spurs, because Spurs are, even though they win a lot, they're a boring team to watch.
Boring, yeah, you stole the words right out of my mouth. I mean, you know, they are a boring team, you know, I don't want my team, I wish the Knicks could be boring and win championships.
Yeah, me too.
Shoot. But, yeah, they just play the game the right way. You know, Greg Popovich, you know, that's their big papa right there. You know, he got them playing D.
Yeah.
You know, trusting their teammates and sharing the ball, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, playoff, tidbit. I saw this somewhere. Carmelo Anthony, I think he still took more shots than anybody in the playoffs. And obviously the Knicks have been eliminated for like the past, two or three weeks.
Right.
And Carmelo still has taken more shots than anybody in the playoffs. This playoffs.
Well, I mean, he was the leading scorer in the NBA, so you'd figure he would take up a lot of shots and score more points than most of the other players in the postseason. But, I mean, could he have passed more? I guess. But, the way the other guys are shooting the ball, he had to shoot more himself.
Exactly. J.R. Smith, he disappeared. And the rumors are, as we expected last year, he's going to opt out most likely.
Right.
Of course, we announced last week Jason Kidd retires.
Yep.
So, next week or so, I think it's going to be on the 26th or the 28th. Mm-hmm. I think it's the 26th. The NBA draft is, going to come, for the Knicks. But I assume Knicks are going to get a late round pick, And after look at the – by next week, we'll, I'll find out where the Knicks – standings are. Obviously, they're not a lottery pick because, they made the playoffs.
Hopefully, you could get a big man and maybe a small forward or shooting guard.
Someone that could shoot, too.
Yeah, a shooter and a big guy that could rebound and block shots.
Yep.
And a backup point guard will be okay also.
Yeah, they're probably going to do that. I think they're going to probably go for a backup point guard who could shoot.
Yeah.
I guess maybe as insurance, if something gets hurt or Prigioni leaves.
Yeah.
I think that's what they'll do. But they got to find another scorer.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, a scorer that's, durable and, can hit tough shots because, Amari is always hurt, and Chandler he disappeared in the playoffs.
Yeah,
especially against the Pacers. I mean, only Shumpert was the only one that showed up with Carmelo that I could think of. Oh, Prigioni as well. He played well.
Yeah, that's true.
And I can't really think of anybody off the top of my head who played well, especially in the Pacers series.
Yeah, we need to get a big guy. A guy that could defend the paint and rebound. We need another one.
Oh yeah, definitely. Most definitely. And hopefully Knicks can, steal a pick. because, you know, sometimes there's gems, you know, in NBA, sometimes, you know, you could get a, you know, a decent, you know, role player who could help you win the title.
Yeah.
So, hopefully, Glenn Grunwald, you know, can, you know.
Work his magic.
Exactly, work his magic. But shifting gears, let's talk a little, you know, sports entertainment.
WWE.
Yep. Let's talk about that. Tomorrow, of course, is Raw. Dolph Ziggler is gonna return.
Yes.
The world champion. And you know, basically, he's gonna, you know, re-energize his feud with Alberto Del Rio. Because, you know, they were, because of his concussion when Jack Swagger, you know, kicked him in the head a few weeks ago, you know, that prevented the triple threat ladder match from happening.
Yeah, man. People wanted to see that.
Exactly.
Ziggler injured his back, right? I think.
No, he got kicked in the head on Raw.
Oh, concussion, right.
On a Raw and against Jack Swagger. He had a fight with Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger. I did say it right. And he got a concussion. So basically, that changed the triple threat ladder match for the World Heavyweight title to a I Quit match for a number one contendership between Alberto Del Rio and Jack Swagger.
Right.
And, of course, Del Rio won. So, basically, Del Rio will face Ziggler, which I assume they'll announce tomorrow at the Payback pay-per-view event.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting to see what Ziggler does tomorrow when he comes back.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And hopefully, you know, WWE won't have Del Rio fight against Big E Langston for like the 800th time for like the past 2 weeks. 2-3 weeks now, man.
Yeah.
People
fighting every week.
I know. I mean, I don't mind people fighting, you know, having a rivalry, but come on, not every single match. You know, make somebody fight against somebody else, or if you're going to have the same people who's having a feud, make them fight in a tag team match, you know, occasionally.
Yeah. Exactly.
But not every single week, the same exact match, a singles match with the same people. Basically with the same ending all the time. It's like, come on.
It's redundant.
It is. I think that's the problem with, you know, WWE lately.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same stuff over and over again. It's too predictable.
Yeah, it is.
And another storyline, Caitlyn's secret admirer will be revealed tomorrow.
Finally.
And I'm thinking it's going to be either AJ or the Bella twins.
I think it's going to be AJ. I think AJ is just screwing with her.
I think it's AJ, too, because, remember, she was supposed to fight against AJ at WrestleMania, and then I think the other pay-per-view event, Extreme Rules. But, you know, they never even talked about the future title match.
Yeah,
you know,
they didn't get to fight at the event.
Exactly. So I assume they're going to reveal it's AJ and, you know, basically, they'll announce when they'll actually really fight for the title, for the Divas title.
If it's not AJ, I think I think it might be?
Who?
I think it might be Natalya.
That's if she turned heel.
Because Natalya is her friend, but Natalya backstab her.
That didn't cross my mind. That's a very good guess right there. Because I never thought it would be her.
Because
she is always there. She's always in the storyline, you know, being her friend about, you know, the thing. That is a good point. I didn't think of that. I always think it would be AJ. My number one pick would be AJ or Beth Phoenix or maybe Hornswoggle, kind of like the anonymous GM thing. And one rumor I was hearing is that it might be Mark Henry. He might you know, reprise his sexual chocolate gimmick that he had in the Attitude Era.
That'd be funny.
Yeah, but I mean, Mark Henry is better as a heel.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, he is.
I mean,
he's going to love to see the sexual chocolate.
But I don't know if they're going to do that. I mean, but then again,
when they turned Brodus Clay into, basically his current, somebody call my mama gimmick, that came out of nowhere either. So,
yeah, that's true.
It could have been.
It's possible.
Yeah. Trying to think what else. Oh, yeah, the Ryback, he's going to fight Cena in a Three Stages of Hell match.
Yeah.
And,
of course, just Cena's going to win that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I could see Ryback winning, but I think Cena's going to win.
Me too.
Basically, root for Cena to win, and you'll basically be right 99% of the time in WWE. Oh, man. And basically, the match, the Three Stages of Hell, the first match is going to be a lumberjack match, which basically, there's going to be wrestlers around the ring, and whoever comes out of the ring will be attacked.
Right.
Second one will be a tables match. You put your enemy through a table. And then if there's a final fall, to decide who wins, which I'm betting that's going to happen, there'll be an ambulance match, which basically Cena sends right back to the hospital.
I think it'll be a great match. I mean, I would love to watch it, but I think Cena will win. He'll win two out of the three.
Yeah, Cena. I think Ryback will win the first one, the lumberjack.
Yeah.
And then Cena will put him through the table, and then afterwards he'll force the final deciding.
Yep.
Match which Cena will win, unless the Shield interferes and help Ryback win, then. That's the only way I could see Ryback winning.
Yeah, I agree with you.
What other match is there? Is Team Hell No even fighting against the Shield again? I guess not. I don't think so. Because I think they broke up on SmackDown.
Yeah, on SmackDown, Randy Orton, he attacked.
He RKO'd Daniel Bryan because. I think Daniel Bryan accidentally hit him because on Raw, Daniel Bryan lost a match when one of the Shield members pushed. Was it Roman Reigns? I can't remember which one. He pushed Randy Orton into Daniel Bryan, and then Daniel Bryan got hit with Dean Ambrose finisher.
Oh yeah, you're right.
And that's how they lost. But you know what's funny? I might sound hypocritical, but. I don't mind seeing Team Hell No and Shield fight against each other or them fighting against anybody, basically.
True. Yeah, that's true.
Because Shield and, Daniel Bryan, man, they're like the – with CM Punk, taking his hiatus, which most likely he's going to return to fight Jericho at the Payback pay-per-view at his hometown, Chicago. Other than that, there's nothing – there's not really anything really major going on in WWE right now.
Yeah, nothing. It's the same old. You have Sheamus feuding with Sandal.
Yeah. I think Sandal. I know Sheamus is a championship, contending wrestler, but I don't know. I just feel Sandal is, Sheamus is beneath him. I think he should be in a better feud.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I don't know what they're doing with Sheamus nowadays.
Sheamus, is too overrated. I think the reason why I think he's overrated is because he jokes around too much, man. He should just be serious.
Yeah, he's trying to be like John Cena,
Exactly. Maybe if he was serious, maybe I would take him, I don't know, seriously.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
But as a villain.
Exactly. And TNA, Sting got attacked. He lost his title match against Bully Ray, which formerly known as Bubba Ray, during his ECW and WWE days. Bully Ray retained the title with the help of Aces and Eights, his tag team, his faction, and basically they attacked Sting with a hammer. So basically, Sting will never, challenge for the TNA Championship. But the bigger news, or equally bigger news, the knockout title match between Gail Kim and, what's her name again?
Karen Carroll?
Yeah. Yeah, she used to be Tiffany in ECW. The WWE version of ECW as the GM. Apparently they had a great match.
Yeah, that might be the greatest.